As we started saying, Mashav Ruach Amar Geshem, and I know you'll find yourself in different shuls, and you'll hear different people saying Geshem or Goshem, and people get very feisty about this issue, as if it would make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. The word Geshem and the word Goshem is the same word. The difference is, does it get a comma, so it doesn't get a comma. I don't know what the policy even gives or what it is. I'm not getting involved. But you'll find shuls that are very machbit, that they either only want to say Goshem or they only want to say Geshem. What's the tumult all about? So Pashtus HaTumul is really a very fundamental question of how to read the bracha. We know, Gemara tells us in Tainis, that Mashav Ruach Amar Geshem is not asking for rain. It's mentioning the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the power to make it rain, the Gevuras Geshamim, that Hashem is all-powerful, He makes it rain. So the question really is in that bracha, we inject it into the bracha of Ato Gibel Oilam Hashem Mechayim Mesem Ato Rav Leshia, Mashav Ruach Amar Geshem, Mechal Gechayim Bechesed. So if you hold it Goshem, so that's because we have a rule, whenever it comes to an end of a topic or the end of a pasuk, it becomes a kamatz. So if you read it like that, so the way you understand it is, Ato Gibel Olam Hashem, you're describing Hashem's Gevura, He's Mechayim Esim, which is obviously a very big deal. He's also Mashav Ruach Amar Geshem, and period, you're done. We finish talking about Hashem's Gevura, we move on to a new topic called Mechal Gechayim Bechesed, we talk about Hashem sustaining the world. That's if you hold it's a Goshem. If you hold it's Geshem, it's because you hold it's a continuation. We don't end talking about the rain. We're saying that since rain is so important for life, as we also, not too long ago, what happens when rain gets a little crazy, it could be very dangerous, or if there's a drought. So in the bracha of Mechal Kechayim, Bechesed, and Mechayim Esim, we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu providing and taking care of us, we also refer back to Mashav Ruach Amar Geshem. So the question of Goshem or Geshem is really dependent upon, do you think the statement ends and it's going back on only the Gevura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or it continues to discuss the fact that Hashem supports us. That's the two versions of Geshem or Goshem.
But it continues on. Right. He says it again.
Right.
Probably meaning that it was an end.
Right. So it depends who you ask over here. According to Shnei Alayman, if you listen to his recording, he thinks that for hundreds of years, everyone always said Geshem. I spoke to another historian who told me for hundreds of years, everyone always said Goshem. Has the play out L'maisa? So Ramosha has a tshuva, actually. Nigus Ramosha Chelik Talib. Ramosha passes it should be Goshem. And if you go to MTJ, and you're down for the Yom and Ramosha's yeshiva, they're machbet to say Goshem. Because Ramosha held it's Goshem. And that was the opinion of Rebbe Eliashiv as well, that he held it's Goshem based on this cheshvin. But there was a sefer written in 1979 by a yid named Chaim Krauss. He wrote a whole kuntras on this thing, and he thinks Geshem is right. And he says that he went to Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and Shlomo Zalman Orbach changed his minhag. For many years, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman was saying Goshem, and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman changed. After reading this pamphlet, he was so motivated, he switched to Geshem. His mamash changed his whole attitude. Shtei Alayman has a stickle teyer where he thinks the Goshem and Geshem controversy is more than just digdum. He thinks it might have to do with who wrote the Siddur, and was there some Shabtai Tzvi involvement, and was there, the Api Darka Shal Shnei Alayman. There's always more that meets the eye. But based on basic digduk, it's really not a question of anything more than, is it a stop or is it a continuation? So Shnei Alayman said, he asked Rav Soloveitchik what he said. Soloveitchik said he always said Geshem. He said he asked Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and he said Goshem. And they both told him, we have no idea what our father did. We're just telling you what we do. So what exactly Rav Moshe Soloveitchik did, apparently no one knows, but the two Soloveitchik brothers argued. And it goes back to the Biskarov. Part of this, in this country, of Chaim Krauss writes that he met a Talmud of the Biskarov, and the Talmud of the Biskarov was asked to daven in the Biskarov's minyan. Biskarov told him, I have one akbada for a Baal Tefillah. You have to say Geshem. So the Biskarov held Geshem. The guy who wrote a sefer post-1979, going against the whole sefer that was written by Chaim Krauss, and he found a son of the Biskarov, one of the Biskarov's sons. And he said, what are you talking about? My father used to say Goshem. So we don't know what the Biskarov did, we don't know what Moshe Soloveitchik did, we don't know what the Soloveitchik did, we don't know what anyone did. But Rav Moshe wrote in the tshuva, Goshem, Rav Eliashiv wrote Goshem, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said it was Geshem, he says he remembers hearing from the Alta Slobodka that it was Geshem. But again, without putting all the other politics involved, it's really just a question of, does the phrase continue, does the phrase stop right there? In Parshas Noach, we need to talk more about the Parsha in depth, but just for two interesting halachic things that come out of the Parsha that are not so popular to people. There's a very famous tshuva from the Chacham Tzvi, in Siman Tzadi Gimel. The Chacham Tzvi discusses the idea if you're allowed to kill a goylem. Right, not the Maral's goylem. We know the Maral didn't really make a goylem. Contrary to every child's belief and dream, the Maral never made a goylem. But the Chacham Tzvi's grandfather made a goylem. That's for sure true. That's proven. So he has a fascinating tshuva, you're allowed to kill a goylem. In the middle of that tshuva, he discusses a more relevant shaila. Are you allowed to have a girl and be mitzvah for the minion? You live in a community, not so many Jews. So instead of pulling people off the street, you pull a guy out of the closet. And he's the 10th guy of the minion. Is a girl and mitzvah for the minion. So he's got some tshuva. Yeah, the Gemara says that Rabbi made a goylem, and he said the term Zera, Gemara Sanhedrin. We've spoken about this, I think, in passing to different shurim. But so the Chacham Tzvi has a whole tshuva written about it. Are you allowed to kill a goylem? Is a goylem a settlement? So the Chacham Tzvi brings a raya from this week's parsha, last week's parsha. He says, I'll bring you a raya that there's no iser tzicha on a goylem. How do you know? He says that he's medayik given the lashon of the pasuk. Says in this week's parashah when the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave a tzivoy post a mabul about killing. So it says in the pasuk va'achas dimchel nafshasechem edresh miad kolchay edreshenu u'miad odom miad ish shoyfech dam ha'odom be'odom domo yishofech. So says the Chacham Tzvi, it has to be an odom who's made from an odom. You came from a human being. However, says the Chacham Tzvi, if you didn't come from a human being, you were created from Sefer Yitzira, then there's no Isser Ritzicha. So Paskin says the Chacham Tzvi, Allah Lamaisa, that there's no Isser Ritzicha. So he has a kasha. So why did in the Gemara and Sanhedrin did one of the Amorim kill it? It must be because they were useless. Why was the Gelim useless? Because he's not mitzvah from him. That's the truth of the Chacham Tzvi. It's quoted by the Berhetiv in Shulchan Aruch. That's the truth he brings arrived in this week's parsha that no Isser Ritzicha and a Gelim. So what's his name goes even further? The Ratz Katzvi. He goes even further. If Tzvi Kareisen says Lefiza, let's say there's a prohibition for a kohen who kills to dochen. So he says, what happens if a kohen would kill a golem? So he wants to pass the base on this Chacham Tzvi. If a kohen kills a golem, he can still dochen. Okay, I think there's ground and room to disagree with that premise. Yeah, maybe. But maybe in a different show we'll talk about how to make a golem. Okay, that's a. And there's one other interesting halacha that comes out. There's a Tshuvas Noida B'Yehuda. One of the earliest Tshuvas from the Noida B'Yehuda he discusses hunting. Is hunting allowed? And he talks about it as a Yid allowed to hunt, Tzar Bali Chaim, others, and he brings a raya that that's not what we'd call a Yiddish sport. He says, yeah, it's not us, it's not Tzar Bali Chaim, it's not this, not that, but he says, it's not a Yiddish sport. He says, why is it not a Yiddish sport? He says, because in this week's parasha, the Torah describes who is the greatest of hunters, Nimrod. Not exactly a very nice, wonderful fellow. So therefore, Zok the Noidi B'Huda, Allah Almighty, he thinks Jews shouldn't go around hunting, not so much because of the Surim involved, but it's because it's not necessarily in the what a Jew should do. You know, every year I always get the same shayla about paintball. You like to go paintballing. So I always tell people, I think paintball might have a halachic issue of chabur, but I always call this Noidi B'Yehuda. There's certain things that just don't fit into what I think Jews should be doing. Shooting each other, it doesn't always sit so well with me. So Zakhtin and Noidi B'Yehuda, the same thing with hunting. Even though there's nothing halachically wrong with hunting per se, he thinks it's what we call not in the spirit of Judaism because of all the people that hunted in the Torah, like in last week's parasha was Nimrod, we don't want to associate with those type of people. Parashas Noach by me is one of the hardest parashas to understand. If I ever had to go for a PhD in Tanakh, I would write it all, my thesis would be all about Noach. He's a very hard person to understand. We get conflicting responses from the Torah, from Chazal, what exactly was Noach? On one hand, the Torah says he was a tzaddik. That's pretty big. The Torah doesn't say that about too many people. So he's got to be good. On the other hand, throughout the parasha, we find statements from Chazal that seem to give off a different type of impression. The Marshal, the end of last, and then Parshas Bereishis, the pasuk ends of Motzah, Noach Motzah Chayim Be'ini Hashem. Noach found favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which sounds like a good thing. The Sforno learns that Chayim means you get something more than you really deserve. Meaning, says the Sforno, really on his own merit, Noach didn't deserve to survive the Mabul, even though the Torah calls him a tzaddik. So how did he survive? Because he found this Chayim Be'ini Hashem. What does it mean he found Chayim Be'ini Hashem? So the way Reb Chaim Shmulevitz explains it in Sichas Moser, he says that sometimes we can do things to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we really don't deserve what we're getting, but because we did something extra special, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us something extra special. So says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, what was this Chayim, or how do we get Chayim? So he writes, the way Noach got this Chayim was by two things. It was through Torah and through Anava. Where's through Torah? Because it says in the Rashi that Noach learned Torah, which we spoke about last Tuesday, whether that's so pasha that Noach was allowed to learn Torah, because he was a Ben Noach. And a Ben Noach has an issur to learn Torah, but he learned Torah. The other midah says, Reb Chaim Shlevitz, was he was an anuf. Where do we find he was an anuf? Because when the Mabul was over, he never left the Teva on his own. Even after the water calmed down and the bird didn't come back, he didn't leave the Teva on his own. Why, says Reb Chaim Shlevitz? Because he said to himself, who am I? I'm not a Baal boss over here. Because Baruch Hu told me to go into the Teva. I stay in the Teva. I leave when Hashem says, leave the Teva. That's an anivus. Most of us would have said, once it's safe, we come out. If our whole going into the table was to protect ourselves, now it's safe, we go out. Says Reb Shlomo, that wasn't Noach's attitude. Noach's attitude was, Hashem tells me, I don't go. I don't make decisions for myself. So he says, that's the way a person can obtain anivus. Anivus means that you say to yourself, I'm not here to decide what should be. I leave it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Reb Shlomo, that's where we can also obtain chein bein Hashem. If we want to find favor, when maybe all our deeds are not perfect, and our own merit might not get us what we want, if we can pick up this chein bein Hashem, we can be able to sometimes get things that are beyond what's really supposed to come to us. Yet we also find, famous Rashi, the beginning of the Parsha, that Yesh Yedorshim Arshel Ignai. Some people say if he would have lived in Avraham Avinu's generation, he wouldn't be klum, he wouldn't be anything. So everyone tumbles. Well, what exactly does this mean? I think the simplest pshat is the way the Nesiv HaShalom, the Islam Rebbe explains it, and this is the taich of Noach. Noach was not meant for Kiruv. Okay? That was not his thing. Noach was not a good Mamakarif. He might have been a great Rosh Hashiva, maybe a good Rav. He was not a good Makarif. And it's clear, because what happened? He spent 120 years building a teva, every day in front of the open. Now one person did he change. He didn't influence one person. 120 years not making one person from. Very depressing. 120 years he sat there building out, working on this teva, people stopping by and he telling them, listen guys, it's going to happen, I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Now the obvious question is, why can't he just give out pamphlets like we do today? The answer is because ein adim shmileria. If you see this guy actually building a boat, spending hours and hours and days doing it, you say something, either this guy's totally nuts or there's something going on over here. So Neir sat there building this teva and not a one person joined his campaign. So Neir clearly wasn't a very good mekarev. Why not? So the way that Siva Shalom explains it, the Salam Rebbe says, is because Noach's attitude was Yira. Noach's drush started off with, Rabbi, say you're all going to burn if you don't change. That doesn't work very well in the world of Kiruv. The way you mekarev people is not through Yira. You mekarev them through Ava. It's beautiful, Kosh Baruch Hu loves you, come back. It's two different mahalchim. Says in the Siva Shalom, that was the difference between Avram Avinu and Noach. Avram Avinu was a very successful Baal mekarev. Why? Because he did it with love. Everything, you know, a little bit more of a positive attitude, not what we call the litvisha negative, you know, it's all bad and we're all rishayim and we all know it was love and beautiful. Hashem loves you, don't worry, that type of attitude. That attitude wasn't very successful. Says the Siva Shalom, Avram Avinu's door, they needed Avram Avinu. They couldn't handle that yira from Noach. So that would have been the difference. Whether or not Noach would have been successful in another generation depends on the needs of the generation. But Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky explains, I think, so much more powerful. He says, where did Noach go wrong? Says Rabbi Yaakov, Noach didn't understand his generation. He couldn't understand why they were doing Avodah Zarah. He couldn't fathom it. Like, well, I don't get you guys. And he says, Rabbi Yaakov, if you don't understand the generation, you're not going to be able to rebuke the generation. And we all agree to this, that you see people that don't understand the children, you know, children of today, and they're trying to give, you know, Rabbeim and Bali Mechanech and tell kids, I don't understand this whole thing about computers. Then you have no business giving advice to kids who are living in that world. Says Rabbi Yaakov, that was Noach's mistake. He didn't get the generation. He wasn't in tune to the people. And that's clear because Noach completely detached himself. Noach sat by himself in his house and learned all day long by himself. He didn't give shurim. He didn't go out. He sat by himself and he built himself a table before the table. And that, many people say, was a taina Noach. That was his downfall. That's why he wasn't successful. He wasn't in with the people. He didn't get their world. If you can't understand the world that you're living in, you're not going to be very successful in bringing people to Yiddishkeit. And that was really Noach's downfall. That's what we'll call it, his chasarn. His chasarn was he didn't get the people. Maybe he wasn't interested in it. His interest was, I'm here about learning. A very litvish attitude. Noach might have been very litvish, while Avraham Avinu was more chassidish. Noach's attitude was, I got to do my thing. I'm boxing everyone else out, and this is me. Avraham Avinu was, no, let's go out, let's spread it, let's reach out to other people. And that's some of the gnai that people have on Noach. His attitude was not as much involved in reaching to the people as opposed to being more about himself. We also find, and the end of the parasha, things get really complicated in understanding Noach. We find Rashi says Noach was mekatnei emuna. He didn't believe the Mabul was going to come. So that, Mefarshim explained, doesn't really mean he didn't believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't bring a Mabul. He didn't believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu would do something so destructive and so powerful to the world. That's why we call Noach mekatnei emuna. But then the end of the parasha is really hard to understand, the whole story with Noach getting drunk, that whole attitude. But Mefarshim also want to explain that Noach wasn't a bad guy. One of the Pshatim says that after the Mabul, his level for alcohol changed. It used to be before the Mabul, he could handle 2-3 bottles of wine, no big deal. After the Mabul, the Metzias changed. Now the wine had a quicker effect on him, he got drunk much faster. That's a nice limud chus on Noach. But at that story with Noach, we find something very interesting. We find that when Noach was naked, so we find his two sons, Shem and Yefes, covered him up. Rashi says over there on that pasuk that Shem gets the chus of tzitzis, while Yefes gets the chus of kfura by Gergu Magug. That we read in Sukkot, Haftarah, both the first day of Sukkot, the Shabbos Chalamet, we read all about the story of Gog and Magog, very scary story. Right? Gog and Magog is not two different people. Gog is the leader of Magog, just to clarify that. It's not two different people. Who exactly Magog is, no one knows. But if you just look, I just noticed this now, in the Targum of last week's parasha, when it wrote Magog, anyone know what the Targum says for Magog? It says Ashkenaz. Okay. Ashkenaz generally sometimes means Germany, but okay, I'll leave that up to historians if that's true, that's what Magog means. Rabbi Elia Pian says over a famous word from Rabbi Chanan, that Rabbi Chanan was in London before the Holocaust. He said over B'Shem Rebbe, the Chafetz Chaim, that the Chafetz Chaim said there's supposed to be three wars of Gog and Magog. So the Chafetz Chaim said the first one was World War I. Then the Chafetz Chaim said, listen, in about 20 years there's going to be a bigger one that's going to make World War I look like nothing. Then the Chafetz Chaim, there's going to be a third one that's going to make World War II look like nothing. That was the famous memra from the Chavetz Chaim, which was brought down by everyone, that Rebbe Elia Pian heard this from Rabbi Chanan. Now, there's kashas to say that Gog and Magog was the first World War War, because if you look at the Pasuk and Avi, it's supposed to take place in Yerushalayim. World War I had zero connection to Yerushalayim. World War II, maybe a little bit, Hitler would have liked to get into Yerushalayim, but World War I is a bit of a hard stuff. But that's the Chafetz Chaim's memory. That World War I, and he was pretty right. I think when he said this, it was about 20, 25 years before the Holocaust, and he said it was going to be, and definitely it's true, it's nothing compared to World War I. The third wall, he says, is going to be nothing compared to World War II. But the Pasuk says that the Schus, Gog and Magog, all the people are going to get killed, but they're going to get Kvura. They're all going to be buried. Why, says Rashi? Because Yefes, who covered his father, and Mogul comes from Yefes, they're all going to get kfur. So the obvious cash is, what's the connection? Shame. Shame and Yefes seem to have done the same thing. They covered their father. Shame gets the mitzvah of tzitzis, and Yefes gets kfur by Gog and Magog. What's the schar for the actions they both did? So I have a sefer, a small sefer from Rav Pam. They printed from Rav Pam's, his drushes on Haftiras, from Rosh Hashanah until Sukkot. So Rav Pam says on the Haftarah of Shabbos Sukkot, Chol Moed Sukkot, that talks about Gog and Magog, Rav Pam explains like this. He says the difference between Shem and Yefes was who thought of the idea and who really just copied. He says, Rashi says in the Pasuk, it says Vayikach, Lashon singular. Why is it not Vayikchu? They both took it. The answer is because Shem was really the instigator and Yefes copied, so to say. Says Rav Pam, we see from over here that when you have someone who takes the initiative in an organization or in a need in the world, he steps up to the plane, he deals with all, and then once he starts, everyone says, oh, it's a great idea, I'm going to join the bandwagon. Says Rav Pam, you see from here that the one who does the initial start, he gets more schar than the other one. Because we all know, and many of you here in this room have done initiatives throughout your community and other communities, you know it's not easy to start something. And then once you get started, some other people join you. It's very nice to have a group, but it's always that first step is the hardest. So says Rav Pam, we learn from over here that since Shem took the first step, he gets much more schar. Whenever you take the jump, you take the plunge, which is always the hardest, you get more schar than the one who just joins along once it's ready off the ground. If Soloveitchik explains it slightly different. Soloveitchik explains there's two types of attitudes in the world. There's what we call ethical and etiquette. Thank you. He writes it in Hebrew, it's even harder to figure it out. But there's two types of attitudes in the world. Soloveitchik Salvation, there's some people that are ethical. It means betzim. This is what I do. This is right or wrong. No matter where I am, no matter who I'm around, this is the way I behave. And there's another type. It's what social norm is. I confirm, I go with the social norm. Says of Salvation, that was the difference between Shem and Yefes. Shem, Be'etzim believed in what he was doing. He believed that this is not right for my father to walk around like this. I am going to do something. And therefore, rights of salvation, if you really believe something, it carries around you all the time. Even your tzitzis. He says, you don't see your tzitzis. I'm not doing it to display it for the world. It's not about the world. It's about me. I would sit this because I think it's right, and I do what's right, no matter where I am, whom I'm around. However, Yefes wasn't like that. Yefes wasn't sure what's right or wrong. He says, let me see what society does. Oh, if shame is doing it, oh, that must be right. Oh, if it's right, I'm going to do it also. But he didn't believe it, really, that this was correct. He just followed what everyone else was doing. Explains to Salvation, that was the difference for the reward. Shane got the mitzvah of tzitzis, which is worn under our begadim, to show that this is who I am. I'm not doing it for you. I don't wear my tzitzis for the public. I wear it for me. Because I believe that this is right, and I carry it wherever I go. Yefes got kvura. What's kvura? Kavod abrius. How it looks on the outside. How do people perceive? People perceive, oh, dead bodies laying on the ground. They need to be buried. So since Yefes' whole attitude was just world perception, Yefes got a reward for world perception. So this idea is so important to realize what should be what we call ethical, and that shouldn't change. No matter where we are, who we're around, or versus what we do, we call social norms. What we do because society does it, then society changes. And we all see that happen today. Society changes, all of a sudden now this becomes legalized and that becomes legalized because it's not ethical. They're not viewing it as an ethical thing, they're viewing it as social. Once it becomes social, once society changes, then everything changes. So explain to Salvation, very, very, very meaningful understanding of the difference between shame and nefes, which is what we call it, ourselves today, b'nei shame, of Yiddishkeit, is that our ethics don't change. We do the same Torah and mitzvahs we've been doing for thousands of years in various communities, no matter who we're around, is because we don't work for them. We work for ourselves, we work for Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's why shame got the mitzvah of tzitzis, while Yefes only got the schos of kfur. Okay. Back to the sugya over here. We're holding now a new sugya. Right? Yeshivas across the world today are all starting new sugyas. Most of them. We're also starting a new sugya today as well. We're going to start the sugya of Dal Ramis with regard to get. They're probably going to go a lot faster than us, yeah.
A name is a name. Shame is a shame, right? But Yefes is our beauty's in the eyes of the whole.
Ah, very good, very good. Say shame. Okay, I like that. Very good.
Very shame.
Very good. Okay, the Mishnah says over here in the beginning of Zafayin, in the middle of Zafayin Ches, the Mishnah says this. How you say medis b'shisa rabim? Some of this might sound familiar because we learned this some of it a while ago, but it's been so many weeks I don't even remember what we said anymore. So I figure we can learn it again. How you say medis b'shisa rabim? The lady standing in the middle of b'shisa rabim, the zarkula, and he throws the get to her. So karav law, if the get's closer to her migresha, she's divorced. Karav law, if it's closer to him, ain't migresha, she's not divorced. The Mishnah doesn't explain what does it mean to be close to her. What does it mean? How do you define that? Says the Mishnah further, Mechza, Mechza, if it's 50-50, Migureshes, Ve'edim Migureshes. She's divorced and not divorced. She's what we call Sofi Gerish. V'chein, then in Kedushin. Same thing would apply to Kedushin. If a lady standing in the middle of a street and a man throws her a pruta and says to her, I want to marry you, so we got to measure. If the money's closer to her, she's married. If the money's closer to him, they're not married. Says the Mishnah further, V'chein, then in Achoiv. Same thing applies to Achoiv. Omer loy bal choivoy, Zroikli choivi. Let's say the Malva says to the lady, pay me up. The Zarku loy, and he finally pays him back, he throws him the money. So if it's Karav L'malva, Zarcha Malva. Rashi explains over here, we're talking about a case where the money gets lost in between. So the question is, who takes the loss? So it depends. If it was closer to the Malva, thank you. If it was closer to the Malva, that belongs to the Malva, Karav L'loy, V'aloy, V'chayiv. Okay, we talked about that a few weeks ago, how to learn this Mishnah. Mechza, Mechza, Shnai, Mechlok. Okay, the point is that you see from this Mishnah, that if you throw a get to a lady who's standing in Mishas Rabim, that's the lashon of the Mishnah, if the get is closer to her than it is to him, she's divorced. So the obvious question is, what's going on over here? So the Gemara starts with, Hechi Dami Karav Law, Hechi Dami Karav Law. What does it mean to be closer to her, closer to him? Omer Rav, Rav's Pshat, Arba Amos Shalom Zehu Karav Law, Arba Amos Shalom Zehu Karav Loi. Zogt Rav, and his Pshat will work with mainly this week and probably next week, and then Bulineda will see a Birchanan's Pshat, but Rav says, Karav Law means within her Dalar Amos. Anything within her Dalar Amos, she's divorced. Anything within his Dalar Amos, she's not divorced. So Mishnah have a very simple kash over here. If that's the case, it doesn't have to be kar of loy. As long as it's not kar of law, she's not divorced. Why does it have to be kar of loy? The point is not that it's closer to him. The point is it's not within her dalar amas. Once it's not within her dalar amas, it doesn't matter where it is. It could be a million amas away. But that Mishnah has this kash, it's a good kash. The Mishnah give some more creative answers. So the question is, why is this a reason for the get to work? So the Gemara says, because it's within her dalar amas. So what's Dalar Amos? So the Chayri, you see from this Gemara, there's some form of a Kenyan called Dalar Amos. Rashi says over here, by us in Gittin, Rashi says, Dalar Amos Shaloi, She'in Beinoi Leget Dalar Amos, if there's not between him and the get, or her and the get, Da'amina Mishnayim Aichzim De Dalar Amos Shalom Kainois. Rashi refers us to a Gemara in Bar Metzia that teaches us that there's a concept called Dalar Amos Shalom Kainois. So what do you see from Rashi? You see from Rashi that Rashi's understanding that the reason why this works by us is the same way Dalar Amos works in Bava Metzia. Okay, so now we got to figure out how does Dalar Amos work in Bava Metzia.
Is that what Rashi means?
How else do you want to learn Rashi?
It's very wordy. I mean, you could have said just, the same way of Kenyan Dalar Amos there, Kenyan Dalar Amos here, isn't it?
So how do you, so
maybe it's just that's considered a mice in a scene as long as we need
to. Okay, good. Yeah. I think there's gonna be some other ways we're gonna have to deal with Rashi. But let's assume like Rashi for now that Pshat and Rashi means that he's referring to the idea that he's giving you a maramach. He's saying, look over there in Bamatsiya, that's where we introduced the idea of Dalai Lama.
Right, so maybe it's right, similar to Dalai Lama.
We're gonna have to see, are they working the same or are they working differently? Okay. I'm just saying now for now, just to make a shtickle Torah out of it, I'm saying for now that Rashi seems to be saying that the mechanism that it works, or the mechanics of Dalar Amos and Bar Metzia are the same for Gittin, which is going to be a problem.
Does that mean that it's not limited to the Shusarab?
So that's a big machloikis Rishonim, which we're going to have to get to in a second. We'll see how that works in a minute. So now, simply, if we just stopped over here, we would say that there's a Gemara in Bar Metzia, we don't have to worry about it, then we'll take Rashi's word for it. But that we're not going to do because that's no fun. So let's look up the Gemara in Bar Metzia, where the Gemara is going to really give us the source of what we know today as Kenyan Dalar Amos. So the Gemara in Bar Metzia, Daf Yud, Omer Reish Lokesh Bishom Abba Kain Bardala. So the Mitzvah Eisen in the back of Bar Metzia writes his name wasn't Abba Kain Bardala. His name was Abba Kain, he was from Bardala. I mean, like today, we say the Brisker Rav. The Brisker's last name wasn't Brisker and Rav, that wasn't his name, that's where he came from. Stop Rav, right? A lot of names today are not really their name. So he says, Hindi also, Abba Kain Bardala. Bardala was the name where the place where he came from. So next time someone stops you on the street and asks you, where did Abba Kain Bardala live? He came from Bardala. Okay. So the Gemara says, Abba Kain Bardala was Mechadish, Arba Amos Shal Adam Kainislai. The four Amos of human being is Kainah for him, Bechol Mokit, wherever he may be. This is the whole Chiddush. Again, it's not a Tana, it's not a Mishnah. Abba Kain Bardala was Mechadish, this thing called Dalar Amos. If a person has Dalar Amos, any Dalar Amos within your area has the ability to be Kainah for you. My time. So to Gemara, why does Dalar Amos work? Tekinu Rabbonin. The Rabbonin were misakin it. Very important words. Tekinu Rabbonin. It's not Deiraisa, the Rabbonin were misakin it. So it shouldn't lead to fights. The way Rishayim explained the Gemara is that the Gemara was talking about, at least by a case of a Metzir Hefker. You have to remember, you have a Hefker object floating in the street. Two guys see it, it's like a loose football on the football field. Everyone's going to die for it, and they're going to start fighting over it. So this way it was much simpler. If it's in my Dalaramas, it's mine automatically. Your Dalaramas, it's yours automatically. Now, we could fight about whose Dalaramas did it get to first. That's true. But the Gemara felt that this would limit a lot of fights if everyone has Dalaramas, so that if it rolls into my Dalaramas, it's mine, your Dalaramas, yours. It's going to prevent a lot of fights. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. The obvious kash is, if that's the lumdus, so what happens in the case where there's no fights that can lead? For example, mekuch memkar. Let's say I want to sell you something, and instead of giving to into your hand or giving it to your chutz, I throw it into your dalaramas. So you're going to tell me we're going to fight about it? There's nothing to fight about. I wasn't giving it to you.
If it gets stolen in the middle,
no, but
the fight over who owned it at the time was...
No, but who's the fight between the two people on the street? The Gemara's case, the Dilma, we'll see. There might be new creative things to worry about. But in the simple cheshbon of the Gemara, Dilma Asel Ansuye, there's no Dilma Asel Ansuye by, let's say, mekuch memkar. So the question is this a good old-fashioned loy plug? Doesn't matter. Chazal said they put Dalaramas in, they put Dalaramas in, or no. Dalaramas is only for specific things, it doesn't apply to all things. That's obviously the big shayla in our Gemara. Obviously, you have to say to yourself, well, if it doesn't, it applies to Gerushin, our Mishnah. The way the Gemara by us learned our Mishnah is that the reason why Elisha's kain is because of Dalaramas. What fighting is there by a get? Which two people are fighting over the get? Her and what? It's her get, written for her, only for her. Where's the fight over there? And yet the Mishnah still says by us that the reason why the Isha is divorced is because of Dalaramas. How does Dalaramas make any sense by a divorce or by a Kedushin?
I don't understand your question. In other words, if Dalaramas was created to avoid fights, it was created. It doesn't mean that just because it didn't avoid a fight, it's not a...
Is that so simple? Well, we'll see. It's Machloekes because we're showing them, of course, but that's the question. The question at hand is, do we delve down to the reason and focus only on the reason, or that's the reason and the motivation?
It only apply if it's avoiding a fight.
Right, that's the question. Do
well,
we say...
Oh,
good. So now you're already coming up with more creative reasons to institute Dalaramas, which we'll see what you're trying to do.
If I'm the Baal Chov and I'm saying pay me the money and throw it with my Dalaramas, if it gets sucked up by the wind, it's my tough luck. But otherwise, I really want the money in my hand.
Right, so you... I think what you're suggesting is that...
That's another insuye, it's not a physical...
So you want to suggest that there might be other motivations. Well, yeah, then we'll get to... We'll see in a second.
By the way, learners, it provides certainty. It's not that it solves a fight... It provides certainty, which eliminates
good. We'll
fights,
see.
Uncertainty.
That's right. So we'll see in a second. That's basically what Tosfos is going to suggest. So we'll get to that in a second. If you look in Rashi Bar Metzia, very interesting Rashi Bar Metzia. When Rashi Bar Metzia is describing the effects of Dalaramas, now what does the Gemara say? Dalaramas of Adam is kindness loy. The Dalaramas of a person is kind to him. It's like your chatzar. We'll call it like your chatzar. So like Rashi Bar Metzia, what does that mean? Voice of a dover hefker. If you have around you something of hefker, ein acher rashay lo toifsei, no one else can grab it. Now this is somewhat strange. If I was writing Rashi, I would have wrote imyeshes vivoyse of dover hefker kain aloi, becomes yours. This is like the backwards of it. No one else can take it. Well, why can no one else take it? Because it's mine. So Rashi should have wrote it's yours. Why does Rashi write in what we'd call the backwards version?
Because I didn't want it. I have a right to it, a first right to it, but I may not want the thing that you threw into.
That's true. So that's a whole discussion in the Gemara. If Dalaramas is kind of slow, do you need to express that you want it or not? We'll have to talk about it.
I said, I don't want it, but Lamaisa, I get my first refusal.
Okay, we'll see.
It's a different step in kingdom. Another stage.
So it would sound like from Rashi, the simple reading of Rashi, that Dalaramas Adam kind of slow is not automatic.
It's
kind of to him. But generally speaking,
so why does Rashi have to repeat the word?
It seems like what Rashi wants to do is to show us this might be either a two-step process. The first way it happens is no one else gets rights to it, and then I get it, which needs explanation why it works that way.
It's the other way.
Why does it work that way? I don't believe, we'll talk more about this in a minute, I don't believe Rashi means to say that you never really own it, just that no one else can take it. Because if that would be the case, so if I were to have... Right, so let's say I have a hefker object that jumps into my Dalaramas. So you're going to tell me now that I wouldn't be able to makdish it because it's not really mine? It's no one else's, but it's not really mine. I don't think Rashi means it's not really yours. I think Rashi means it's yours. But the type of bialis that you have on this is not a regular type of bialis. We'll see more. Blue and I have to talk much more about this. Shalvechik has a whole piece. We'll talk about this Rashi. But this is the obvious ha'ara on Rashi. That Rashi, when he's describing Dalaramas, he's not describing it in the regular way we would have understood it. For example, if Rashi was to explain to you how kinyachatza works, so Rashi would say, when the object comes into your chatza, miyad nasalai. If this king in Dalaramas was exactly like king in Chatzar, then something is strange in Rashi. So the obvious diag one would make from Rashi, that's not the same. This Kenyan works differently than king in Chatzar. How does it work? We're not sure yet, but it works different.
But we do understand with the woman that if he throws it into her Chatzar,
whether she does anything or not. She's divorced.
That's only because for a divorce, you don't need her to be kainit. You just need an asin of the Rishusa. But if it would be something else, like a mekach memkar, then it gets more complicated. There's another diuk that Achrenim make in this Rashi, which I'm not so sure is such a starker diuk. They want to be diuk from the words dover hefker.
Yes.
Why did Rashi pick dover hefker? Rashi should have wrote, im yesh tivas of anything. Why did Rashi specifically say hefker? So they want to be diuk from Rashi. The Rashi holds that the whole Dalai Lama's only works by hefker or by a metzia. It would not work by mekach memkar. If two people wanted to sell something to each other, they would not be able to sell it through Dalai Lama's. Why? Like we mentioned earlier, since there's no reason for osil and suya, there's no reason for fights, there's no takanas Dalai Lama's. So then it would be a steer to the Rashi by us and Gittin, right. Because Rashi by us and Gittin says it's working the same way Dalai Lama's works. Right. That can't be, because Dalai Lama's doesn't work by Gittin according to Rashi by metzia. Yeah? I don't know. I'm not so sure if it's such a stark idiot. The Gemara over there is talking about Hefka. That just happens with the Gemara Bamitzia is talking about. If anything, I'd make the deal from the Gemara. What's the lashon of the Gemara Bamitzia? Arbal Amish Adam Karnas Loi Bechom Makim. Sounds like anything. Anywhere, maybe anywhere, and everything. I don't know. I'm not so sure.
Someone else is down on the street, and you're coming down to Dalai Lama's. It's not yours.
Well, obviously, I can't be carrying something which is not. I can't be carrying something which is not subject for Kenyan. I can't steal something.
So what else is that up for Kenyan? So you
have, no, you have Mekach Memka. Let's say I want to sell you something. I want to sell it to you, or I want to give you a gift.
Right.
So instead of giving the gift in your backyard, I give the gift. I see you walking down the street. So I say, oh, Dalai Lama's. I throw it into your Dalai Lama's. So there's no asil and sui. No one else is going to fight for it because you can. The third party can't say, well, that's mine. I wasn't giving it to you. Right. So would there still be Dalai Lama's? So one can make an argument, which Rishayim do. They say, no. Dalai Lama's was a tailor-made takana for a specific scenario. If it doesn't fit that, it doesn't work. So it could be that's what Rashi is alluding to when he says Dover Hefker. Again, he could have also said a Metziah, but maybe a Metziah is a Dover Hefker. Okay, that's a Ela Metziah's Taira. But the point is, there are those that want to make such a diak in Rashi. Okay, maybe. I'm not saying it's unheard of to make such a diak, but I think it's not necessarily mochach in Rashi. I think, if you want to, you can pshetel in Rashi and Metziah, at least to fit our sugya and gittin. When we talk about giving a get to an isha, so we always talk about the two dinim of how to make a divorce. You either make a divorce through a kinyan of the get, or you make a divorce through an asina l'rishusa. I give it to her possession, or an area that's deemed her possession, that's enough to make a kinyan. You could say that Rashi in Bar Metzia says that if I give the get to, if I give the get to Isha in an area that no one else can take it, maybe Ein Achanami, I'm going to say a big chiddush over here, maybe Ein Achanami, she doesn't really own the get. But no one else could take the get. Now, Al's Bailis, that doesn't, she doesn't own the get. But maybe the Ktsois would tell you that's sufficient to say, I made an Asinu L'Rishusa. This area is called hers. Why? Because no one else has Kenyan rights in this area. That's a Raya, that this is her area. Although she herself is not Kainet, which is the ironic twist over here, although she herself might not be Kainet completely, but the fact that I can block others from being Kainet in my area, that's a Raya that this is my Rishus. And forget, that's all you need.
So by the Dover Hefker, yes.
Yeah, so Kedusha we'll have to talk about. That's not going to help for Kedusha. Kedusha is going to have a whole slew of problems. At least we'll go in order. First Gittin, then we'll deal with Kedusha. But yeah, Kedusha is going to be a big mess, which we'll have to deal with.
So by the Dover Hefker, what Rashi's saying is that once it comes into his Dalai Lama's, well, he hasn't made a kinyan yet on it. So
right.
It's not really his.
But
he has first dibs on it, basically.
Right.
Nobody else could touch
but,
it.
And therefore, this is where I want to add for the Gittin part.
He's left to pick it up.
That's the right. Therefore, that's enough for Gerushin to say that this is my area. I mean, what makes your backyard? We spoke about this many. Reb Chaim has a piece. We talked about this. He's toiled in Machlokes Rishonim. What makes your backyard? Is your backyard yours because you could be kind of things there? Or your backyard is because it's an extension of your property, whether or not you have rights of kinyan or not. So maybe here also, although I don't have maybe full rights to be kind of just with my backyard or my Dalai Lama's, but the fact that I can block other people, that's what we'll call a haros. That shows that I somewhat have domination over this area, and maybe for Gerushin that's good enough. I think it's a stretch, but maybe that would work for Gerushin, that it's enough to say, that this is my rishus, even though I'm not kind of here, but because I can block others, that's sufficient to say it's an asinu rishusa.
Obviously, you're only assuming you're going with that.
Yeah, 100%.
You don't need
if you assume like the tzais that all you need is an asinu rishusa, so then that would suffice. Okay, so let's get more into the shiloh over here of does Dalai Lama's extend to other areas? There's a taisus in Bamitzia number 5. Taisus has a kasha. Vim toima be'elu nairis. In the third parak of Ksubis, the Gemara says, the guy steals a wallet on Shabbos. If he's schlepping the wallet, the loch is potter. He's potter. It's a Shabbos. Because the Gemara says it's Kimle. That's the whole sugya. Daf Lamed is the big sugya in Ksubis of Kimle by the Rabbi Mine. I had a Havmina 1 year. Maybe we should learn that here. But I'm still tumbling about learning Eilu Nairis. It's a loaded parak. A lot of good stuff. Starting from Chavtes to like Lamed Gimel. Just four blot of hardcore lumdis kimle but the rabbi minay ancient malchus, a lot of good stuff there.
That's a good thing for next decade.
The next decade. We'll get to when we finish getting the kedushin, we'll be there. Okay. So the gemara says over there in Ksubis that it's kimle but the rabbi minay. Why? Because it's a Shabbos v'sig neiv b'am kecha. The Gemara is a kasha b'kama. Either after it's just rabbim, the Gemara says, well, what's the scenario? Where did he schlep it? So the Gemara says, if he schlep the wallet out of the house of the victim and into the Shis Rabbim, so that's Isha Shabbos, Ikka, Isha Gneva Lekka. All he did was be over in Isha Shabbos of Hatsam, Shis or Shus, but where's the Isha Gneva? So the Gemara is assuming there's no Kinyani Gneva in Shis Rabbim. Fight the Gemara, why? V'amai. Ha'aba Amos Kainislai. If Rabbi Abba Kain Badla is right, there's a new Kinyan called Dalar Amos, why shouldn't that Kinyan extend to include Gneva? We know that there's something called Kinyani Gneva, you do a Maisa Gneva, you become a Gadif.
According to Rashi, it's not a
Kash. According to which Rashi?
Because
not Davar Hefka.
Right.
Okay, good. So therefore, Fraktais Akasha, why don't you say that he should become a Ganiv through Dalai Lamas? That's a Fraktais Akasha. The Ishlaim and Fatais is the Bigneva like Tikna Rabbanon de Kanan. The Rabbanon were never misakin by Gneva Dalai Lamas.
Yeah,
there's so, it gets more complicated. There's Chiv Oinsim. You become a Chayv and Oinsim. Now, whatever happens to you, you're a Chor. Right, that's you need a Maisa Gneva, but that would kick in all those chiyuv.
What does it mean that they weren't for Gneva? They weren't.
So let's see. Let's continue reading. So Taisa says the Gneva loy tikna rabbanon dekani. This takanas chazal of dalamis was never instituted by Gneva. Now, if we'd stop right here, you'd have to ask yourself why? Well, why not? So Taisa does us a little bit of a favor, and he writes the elo b'mitzia because it was only by mitzia doy leisin and suye, so people shouldn't fight. Ubiget. And also by Gad Mishum Iguna, because we're worried about Cheshbainis of Iguna. So the question is how to navigate through this Taisvus. What would Taisvus tell you about Mecha Chomemka? Would Taisvus tell you that you can buy and sell things through Dalaramas? So Pashup Shana Taisvus, you learn Taisvus, that Taisvus is saying the way it starts is like this. Everything starts to be equal, no Dalaramas. You need a reason to get into Dalaramas. You need a reason why Chazal would include you. So Gneva, no reason. Not because Gneva has a reason specifically not to be included, but Gneva has no positive reason to be included. There's two ways you could have learned Taisus. There's a Shidim Kubetz and Ksubas Tav Lamar Aleph that learns, that we'll see before Shem Yishayim in a second, that Gneva is B'davka, we didn't include it. Why? Because that's not when they set things up. They didn't set up Gzeris, they didn't make the Karnas Kinyana de Rabbanan to include Gneva. That wasn't their idea. That's Pasha, is not what Taisus by us is saying. Taisus is not saying that. Taisus is saying you start with everyone's equal. No one has Dalaramas. And you have to give me a reason to get Dalai Lamas. So the Gemara says, Mitzia, that's a reason. That's a pressing reason. What's the pressing reason? Osilan Suya. So then in the middle, Taisa says to himself, one second, I got a Bikasha. If I'm going to do that, so how am I going to explain the Gemara in Gittin? How does Dalai Lamas work by Ged? So Taisa says, no, don't worry. Ged also has a reason of a Vigun. So the Poshut way of reading Taisa would be is that anything that doesn't fit either of those two categories doesn't have Dalai Lamas. Which means, according to Taisa, Mekachu Memkar, which has neither of those two Svaras, they wouldn't have Dalai Lamas. It's not a kasha. It's fine. That's what Chayvut Taisus would hold.
That's not what the Gemara doesn't say because of Iguna.
That's correct. So I want to get to that. Okay. So that's what I want to talk about a little bit. Yesh Lodin and Taisus. How to learn Taisus. Did Taisus mean that once Chazal opened the floodgates and they said, well, because of Osel and Suye, we're going to give you Dalai Lamas. So then Chazal said, you know what? That's a good idea.
Any good reason.
Now, anytime you have a compelling reason to why you should create the King of Dalai Lamas, you can do it. Meaning, what I mean to say by that is, was it really a secondary cheshbon? Meaning, they really started off just Asal and Suri. That was it. Nothing else, nothing more. And then later, Chazal said to himself, you know what? Why not? Why shouldn't we include Iguna? It's a good reason. It's as good as Asal and Suri. Is that the way it happened? Was it like a secondary thought? Or was it, no, it was B'chlal Masayimana. When they set up the Takana, when they instituted, they said to themselves, Rabbi, say, anytime you have a scenario that has a compelling reason, this is the way it's going to be. It doesn't make a difference in Lomdus, in Cheshbin. I just think it's interesting in Lomdus. Was it more of a secondary thought? Or was it somehow included in the original Takana? Which is Negeat, the Kash that you're asking, it's not in the Gemara. The Gemara never says Takanas Agunas, it's not found in the Gemara. So you can say one of two things. You could say it's included in Asil and Suri. When they made up Asil and Suri, that was an example of things that lead to conflict. Now, there's only one problem with all what I'm saying now, is because Iguna is a totally different Svara. It's not like Iguna is a similar to Svara to Asil and Suri. Fakert, the Pnei Shua asks, Iguna, you're going to create more fights. Because now that you just told me you could be a divorced lady in Dalai Lamas, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have fights back and forth. It wasn't my Dalai Lamas. It wasn't my Dalai Lamas. We're going to have bigger fights now than if we would have kept things the way they are, throwing them into her backyard. So the Pnei Yeshua doesn't understand how Iguna helps anything. But Iguna is a totally different svara. It's not like it's similar to Asid and Suya. It's not similar at all. It's a totally different svara. So you'll tell me the way you read the Gemara is that whenever Chazal felt a compelling reason, like Asid and Suya, similar they felt by Iguna.
What does it even mean, Iguna?
It means that Chazal wanted to make...
No, but how will it... Because
Chazal wanted to make divorce as easy. Let's say you have a guy who's a husband, you know, you want to make it as easy as possible to create a divorce. So they assume that this is the easiest way of doing it, is catch her on the go, catch her on the move, it's the easiest way of making it. Let's say you have an issue trying to, I don't know why she'd want to do this, but we want to make the husband's life as easy as possible to make a divorce. You know, husbands love to kvetch, it's too hard, it's too difficult. You have no excuses, you don't even have to go to her house, she'll
just
come to you.
Force it into her dollar.
Right. Now, well, what's interesting is that what happens before Abba Kohen Badla came to town? Why didn't Chazal say, you know what, it's a, the, you know, there's a guna problem in the world, let's just say Dalai Lama's not works, to divorce a lady. Well, why couldn't they do that? I don't think they did that. I think this whole guna was only after we saw Asil and Suya. Meaning, Chazal wouldn't have gone up on their own and said, you know what, because there's a guna crisis, we're going to make a magic trick. If the husband takes the get and holds it twice, puts it in his pocket, she's now divorced. You can't do magic tricks. You can't create new halachas. Once Abba Kohen Badla opened up, so to say, floodgates and said, there's Da'ab Kinyi Kod Dalai Lama, so now the Chacham said, oh, so now we can piggyback off of that and expand it to other areas.
Maybe,
I think.
This is not Shriach, right? This case of Dalai Lama, right? So Chazal couldn't make a takana that's not Shriach.
It could be.
But once they
saw
it,
yeah.
So then
we'll have to talk more about how this is a reflection of the lumdus of Dalai Lama's to see.
Was Abba Kohen Badla the one who initiated
yes.
it? Or he's describing something that happened at Takana? He came
he explains
said,
he there's something called Dalai Lama's.
So you say in the Mishnah there was no such
thing? Well, again, this is how he's learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't say it explicitly, no. There's no Mefurish in Mishnah that says Dalai Lama's Kohen is like. Abba Kohen is explaining that's part of the Mishnah.
So he's explaining a Takana, not that he made himself.
Right.
He's explaining a Takana that's a long-standing Takana.
There must have been somewhere
that,
around
that
the time. Right, right.
Yeah, but the concept of, there are two points to consider. The one is, does Dalit Amos operate in some fashion other than being Kona, and then it would be Kona? Because the Dalit Amos in the Gemara, they talk about in Tfilah, they talk about in other areas where it's determined to be your...
We're going to have to talk about that. There's a Balamor in the beginning of Perek HaZorik and Shabbos that basically says the concept of Dalai Lama's is the Raisa because it just makes sense. You extend Dalai Lama's of your area, which we're going to have to deal with. We're going to get to that.
What does the Gemara mean where it says... Abakal Barla Arba Amashal Adam Konoslo? It could have stopped there,
right.
But he adds Bekal Makam, and then they say My Taima. Because so, what's Bekal Makam?
Very good. We're going to talk about
it. Because maybe the Bekal Makam meant in any situation where you're trying to avoid could. Any doubt or dispute or uncertainty
could be.
Or lack of
yeah.
clarity. So,
I think that's a good deal. Those words are seemingly extra. We'll see in a second or somewhat later today. I think there might be another reason why he said those Bekal Makam. But you could suggest Bekal Makam means in any scenario. Meaning Mekach, Memkar, Ged, Gerushin, you name it. Bekal Makam, any scenario Dalai Lama's currency.
Makam almost sounds like whatever.
Physical place. Right, Malkum sounds like a physical place. Okay.
If
Pashas is coming to say even Mishnah Sarab, which is Machlokes Rishayim, which we believe that have to deal with. Yeah.
So the problem was with Suya, it has nothing to do with Gittin.
Right.
Is
exactly.
It with Bekal Makam?
Yeah. We'll talk in hopefully in a few minutes.
Is there a
we'll make
a
comment.
Wouldn't there be a difference between Ishus and commercial transactions?
Sometimes, yes.
Is there a worry being Matar and Ishus Ish and others and you can't even before the Amos? That's a major Kiddush that the Rabbanan have been doing. As opposed to, listen, between the two of us, I've got to go ahead and make sure society functions, so I tell you, poor Amos does it.
Yeah, so what I think, what it sounds like you're asking is you're trying to understand how could a Takanas Chazal work...
Go ahead for an Asian
city. Ah, very good. That's the big cash on the sugya here, which hopefully we'll get to later. It's on all these papers over here. That's the million-dollar cash on this whole sugya is, because at best, Dalai Lama is the Rabban. At best, that's the Gemara. Take the Rabban. So the cash is, how could a king of the Rabban and create a Chalais Teresa?
Well, maybe
where do we always have that?
They gave it over.
Ah, okay, we're going to get that. That's what we're going to talk about. Yeah, that's what we're going to get to. We're going to get to all those good stuff sometime.
Does anyone say that the reason is because of Chatzon, then it can be Deraisa?
How can it be Chatzon? It's Mishnah Sarabim.
What do you mean? For right now, this is considered my Chatzon.
You're right. You're alluding to the Lashon and Rishayim. But how did the Peninsula Boulevard become my Chatzon? It's
no,
not.
For right now, for this
who
purpose,
made it?
This is,
who made it my Chatzon?
No, the fact that it can be anybody's, but the fact that I'm here right now,
I agree with you.
I'm making it mine.
Deraisa or the Rabbanim?
Well, if it's mitam chatzah, then it would be the rice.
But the Torah never said that your chatzah is Peninsula Boulevard. Chazal said your chatzah is your backyard or your front yard.
Yeah,
you're right.
I'm not disagreeing
with you on this.
For whatever purpose, right now, this area, yeah, 100%. Peninsula Boulevard, I'm making it myself for my purposes. This is mine.
That doesn't. If I decide to pitch a tent in the middle of Peninsula Boulevard, please come and arrest me, right?
For this one purpose.
But again, How can you take bailus on something that you, that's not up for discussion? If I decide to pitch a tent in your backyard, I can't say, well, for the next hour, I'm owning your backyard. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. You're right, in Lomas. We'll see Mefurish Rishayim like this. That the way Dalai Lamas works, we'll just mention the Chakir, because I don't know if we'll get to it later today or not, but we'll to get to it next week. It's a very serious like a Chakira in how Dalai Lamas works. One side of the Chakir works is that it's a magic trick. Chazal were makni you the object or the thing that we're discussing, they gave it to you. If it's in your Dalai Lamas, it becomes yours. Let's say you have a hefker, right? The guy's walking down the street and he sees a $20 bill in front of him. So Chazal did a magic trick and they said, that $20 bill now belongs to you. I never picked it up. I never made a nice kinyan on it. It's not in my chutz. It's a magic trick. Chazal were makni you. Yeah, we'll get to the at some point, but that's one side of the chakir. Which, okay, is harder to understand, but somewhat we're familiar. The other side of the chakir is not. That what Chazal did was, Chazal said that we're going to, instead of making puff magic tricks, we're going to say that your Dalai Lamas becomes your Chatzim. Midrabbanan, that's the longest. But it's working with a different mechanism. It's not working that we just make it yours magically. We make this your Chatzim.
Your Chatzim is an extension of you.
It becomes like chutzner.
Like
it becomes like a backyard. It becomes like your backyard. The same way your backyard is kind of chutzner, time yachs, time shlichas, whatever. This is now your backyard. Although it's not my backyard, I have no real rights here, and it's a temporary backyard. But Chazal says for the next 5 minutes that you're here, this becomes your backyard, but as much as Chazal can do. Right? Chazal can't be the Torah. So Chazal can say, on rabbinical level, this is your backyard. So great. So the Isha's kind of through a chutzner de Rabbanon. So assumingly, she should be divorced. Only midrabbanan. That's the cash.
Who says just because the mechanism was derabbanan, the get now is also derabbanan? No, it's they made it.
So
your
that's a shaila. Kivega discusses and he quotes from his son of Shlaim Eger. There's a kinyan derabbanan work for derais. Sure. If any time I needed a derais a chalois, but the way I did it was at a kinyan derabbanan, right. Does that work? That's the chakira that also comes up in our sugya. Kinyan derabbanan mahani le derais oiloi. So if you hold kinyan derabbanan mahani le derais, there's no kasha. What's the big deal? And achanami, we talked about this when we learned kedushin. If you hold chalipin, it's a kinyan derabbanan. So you can tell me if you use chalipin, she's only mukudesh in the derais. We talked about these types of shabbos. Okay, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, but we'll be now to talk about all these things. What? That's true. But that only is going to help to say why they're not married. You're not, it's not going to help to get them married.
No, but I'm trying to get them divorced.
Yeah. For getting them divorced, we'll see it's a lot easier. Harder to bring people together. Right. So let's see. If Gedalia Finkel over here, Mike, you want to tell us who Gedalia Finkel was? You know, the Mir legacy?
No, he's in Mir Yeshiva. Right. He's, what's his name? Ramesha Finkel's brother.
Okay.
He was Rabbeinish's cousin.
We'll get to Rabbeinish at the next sheet. Today we're going to go through some of the Finkels. Okay, in any case, Gedalia Finkel has a shtickel Torah on this Taisvus, which I want to talk about. He titles like this. He clears the Chakir on this Taisvus. How do you learn Taisvus? When Taisvus says, the Begneva Leitikna Rabbanon, and Taisvus doesn't explain why, is it for one of two reasons. Either it's because Gneva fundamentally is not something where Chazal made takanas for, or the Pshat is no, because Gneva has no compelling reason to do so. So he writes over number 6. Yesh l'stapik. In kavanas ha-taisis hum yishum d'shem amokim isa l'tikna dal ramas. Is the pshat in taisis that the reason why they weren't masakin it by Gneva is because Gneva has a reason specifically not to be masakin it? Because Gneva is something of Isser, and Chazal didn't make the kanas to do Isserim. That's one side. Oidim moshloim yishum Isser l'tikna. It was because of Isser. Elam yishum d'leketam l'nsui l'tikna. Or the way we learn Taisvis, that the reason why Gneva doesn't happen is not because there's something wrong with Gneva. It's just that you always have to give a reason to get Dalai Lamas. Gneva has no reason to get Dalai Lamas. That's his chakir. So he answers, Vihine mahoda hasifu beget mishum iguna. From the fact that Taisa had a kasha, what do you do by get? Mashma dalav mishum di Gneva hu iser, loy tiknu. El mishum loy shaykh lansuye. Says Gedalia, this is a very good point. He said, if you would have learned Taisvis, that Taisvis meant the reason why you don't have it by Gneva is because Gneva is an Isser, Taisvis didn't have to continue and say, get has Dilma Asa Lansuya. Taisvis should have stopped right there. Taisvis should have said, is that everything is included because of some form of a light plug, except for Gneva, because Gneva doesn't have it. And Taisvis should have stopped. From the fact that Taisvis continued, it's clear from Taisvis that Taisvis, that's not the pshat. Gneva is not excluded because it's Gneva. Gneva is excluded because there's no compelling reason to be included. I said, then Taisa has a kasha on himself. 1 second, that's the way it works. You always say, how did get in? So Taisa, get also has a compelling reason. Mishum Egun. I think that's very muchach in Taisvis. I think it's also meduik in Taisa because Taisa doesn't say, the Gneva ikka iser. He doesn't say because Gneva is doing an iser. He just says Gneva. The Gneva loy tikn. Why? Not because Gneva is an iser. Because there's a reason. I think it's kemat meduik in Taisvis like that. The Taisa doesn't focus on the iser. However, if you look at number 7, the Shidim Mekubetz is Bamatsiya Dav Yud, he quotes him a Ritva. That Ritva has the whole kasha of Taisvis. What do you do with the Gemara in Ksubis? Why is there no Dalai Lama? So look what the Ritva answers. The Tirtzu, the last line, he writes, the Bigneva, the Ovid Isura, the Kuli Alma, like Tiknal Erba Amas. That's clear. Here the Ritva is suggesting a different shot. He thinks that the reason why there's no Dalai Lama by Gneva is not because Gneva has no compelling reason. It's because Gneva is specifically nismayit from Dalai Lama because you're doing an Isur. So now, what's the Nafkamina? So according to the Ritva, one could have said Mecha Chomemka would be in the Parsha. According to Taisvis, Mecha Chomemka would not be in the Parsha. Why? Because according to Taisvis, everything and everything, as long Taisvis says you have to have a compelling reason to be in. If you don't have a reason, you're out. Mecha Chomemka has no reason, so it would be out. According to the Ritva, it sounds like maybe everything is in until you're excluded. Why is Gnev excluded? Because you're doing something wrong. Mecha Chomemka would be included.
So, and what does he do just with the fundamental lashon of the Gemara? Which yeah. Gives a reason, makes it sound.
He doesn't. He, that is not addressed. Right. No, that is not addressed.
Why are you allowed to have Kenyan in a Gnev situation at all then?
I mean, right, so Terrence is the Torah gave it to, so that we can't mess with. Right? There's only so much we can mess with.
But here's the reason, like, it's not to the Ghana's benefit to be Conan.
Right.
So why wouldn't Fazal? Yeah. It's an issue, but we're not benefiting him.
Correct.
We're penalizing him.
Okay. Yeah, well, so we'll see. There might be another way of learning Tosfos. So in the next
stick. Which case? The guy who kicks my wallet out of my house on Shabbos, and he's not Conan, right?
Right.
So in a case like that, it's not going Kechan, and he is Chayav to pay.
Right.
So that would be a good enough reason to make sure that I get paid back.
Right, so you want to suggest that they should have instituted it for this type of a case?
No, if they instituted it, then it would have been Bonkechen and I would have been losing it.
Yeah, but
so I'm saying don't go ahead.
In most cases.
Right, but okay, most times the Ganim is going to steal, it's not going to be Shabbos, so chances are.
Well, no, so you're right, so the truth of the matter is once they're applying these rules.
So that's the question. Once we open this idea of, you know, reasons, where do we draw the. I agree. It gets a little hard to know how we're magdur it.
I mean, there are enough differences between Shabbos and Kol anyway. So
yep, I agree. 100%. So if Gedalia Finkel goes on to ask a kasha on this ritva, he has the following kasha. We know, as a famous machlokes between Abiyachin and Mishlokish, what kinyanim work? Is money kainis midiraisa or not? Abiyachin and Mishlokish. So the kasha is like this. We know if you hold that Mashiach is kainis midrabon. Right? We do Mashiach a lot of times. We grab things, we pull things. That's only kinyan midrabon. The Gemara says, why were they misakin it? What the Gemara explains is that what would have happened? If I go to a store and I want to buy something, and all we use is money, and I buy something very big. Let's say I go to a furniture store and I'm buying a whole living room set and all these things, huge objects, and I pay with money. So what happens is, midiraisa, now I own all that furniture. In the middle of the night, a fire breaks out in the furniture store. So the owner says to himself, I'm not getting out of bed to go put the fire. It's not my stuff. You bought it. It's all your stuff now. You're in trouble. He goes back to sleep. So the Gemara says, this is not going to work. We can't have this. So because of this reason, Chazal stepped up and they said, no. We're going to say that now, midirabonan, you have something called Mashiach. Why? Because this way, until you actually pull it, it doesn't belong to you. That's the sign of the Gemara. So the question is, does Mashiach work? Mashiach is a kinyan d'rabbanan. Would Mashiach work by Gneva? Let's say a guy steals something and his mode of kinyan is Mashiach. Would we say he's not kainet? So if you hold like the Ritva, it sounds like no. Because Chazal never made kinyanim that are there to do a suit. In fact, with Dalai Fikos, it's not true. There's too many Gemaras and Shas that are mashma that you become a ganav through Mashiach. So what's the difference, at least in the Ritva's world, between becoming a Ganav through Mashiach and becoming a Ganav through Dalai Lama?
Is Mashiach a Kinyan Rabbanan, or only they said in addition to money, the Rabbanan will make you...
So that's another Machloikis Rishayim between Taisus and the Ramban. There's a big Machloikis Rishayim, if you hold only Mois Kainis, so how do you ever get a present? How are you Kainis Davar Hefka? If you only want to be Kainis through exchanging money, what happens if we don't exchange money? It's a one-sided experience. I give you money. So you're going to tell me you're not kainah midiraisa? So Taisa says you're right. If the only way to be kainah would be Mashiach, then Mashiach becomes deraisa. So that, if that's true, then it answers the kasha over here. Because over here, by Gnev, you can't do kesef. The Ganav is not going to hand you his money, so they're not going to be able to use kini kesef. So the only option is Mashiach, then Mashiach becomes deraisa.
Once passive, once
what? In kesef, Mashiach?
No, you're saying if Mashiach, so now there's an active...
But again, if the point is the Chazal never gave Kinyon de Rabbanan in scenarios that involve Isser, then they should be the same. Gneva through my, if I become a Ganav through Maisa Mashiach, or I become a Ganav through Kinyon de Rabbanan, they should be the same. They're both the Kanas Chazal. Putting aside the Osil and Suye, forget that for a second. Let's say it was a Loi Plug, and they included Gneva also. But it has to at least fit with the Ritva's understanding that it's only when the Loi of it is Surah.
So how do you do the Gneva if there's no
Right, that's the cash. So that's another question. Is Hagbah all included in Mashiach? That's all a bigger discussion. So, but if you hold like the Ramban B'Metzia, and the Ramban holds that even in a case, the Ramban has a Chiddush Gadol, just to note, that the Ramban holds, let's say, for example, Mois Kainis Midiraisa. Let's say you have something that can't be kited through Mois. It's not possible. It's a gift. I want to give you a gift. Where's the money? So the Ramban says, you'd have to use something else. He'd have to use Kinyan Agav, even though we mentioned Kinyan Agav might also only be the Rabbanon, maybe Chalipin. You can't be kind of something on a deraisa level unless through exchanging of money. That's the Ramban Shita. So if so, you have Shver over here. So with that, I think it comes over to Stigl Torah, which I don't understand at all, but we'll read it anyways. He writes like this. V'nir l'chalik ben Kinyan Dal Aramis l'Kinyan Mishich. There's a fundamental difference between the Tekanus Chazal of Dal Aramis and the Tekanus Chazal of Mishich. What is that? The Hainu. The Tekanus Kinyan Mishich hu Tekanus shal Maisi Kinyan. When Chazal said that you need to schlep things to make it yours, that just wasn't because, well, we need to come up with a new way, this is the new way. Chazal thought about it and they realized that this is a way to make kinyan, or we'll call it the more way Achrenim say it. Every kinyan is just a fancy version of Haraz Bailas. It expresses your ownership. So although it's not one of the ones, Mashiach is not described by the Torah, Chazal said, you know what? We think that this should be an expression of ownership. So they instituted schlepping something as a way of showing I own it. V'kim netiknu l'maisa kinyan, m'mei l'maisa zeh kinyan l'chodover. Once they were instituted it, so now it becomes a Maisa Kinyan. It doesn't change. It's a Maisa Kinyan all the way through. V'loi chilku ben hetel isu. Avol Dal Ramas, ain't it the Kodesh L'Maisa Kinyan? That's not the way Dal Ramas worked. Elo, mishum doi, also l'ntsui, tiknu d'mash b'seich Dal Ramas, k'nuila. Instead, says Rabbi Gedalia, what they did was they made a magic trick. Anything in your Dal Ramas magically becomes yours. Okay? U'lechein, shabi yishloim, but direct l'het to tiknu v'loi l'isu. So if that's true, they only did it, l'het to v'loi l'isu. It's a nice Stigl Torah, but there's one kasha on this. He's explaining how it works. He's explaining the way Mashiach works is Mashiach works as a way of becoming a Maisa Kinyan. But he's forgetting the Gemara. The Gemara said why they made Mashiach. They made Mashiach to save a problem of Shema Yemunis V'chidich Baliyah. There was a reason for doing it. That reason doesn't apply to Geneva. So very nice, the way it works is X and Y, but you only get to the way it works once you assume that it does work. I don't get how you answer this kasha. He's coming up with a beautiful pshat on how it works. You're right. The how it works makes a lot of sense. But the how is only after you get off the first step of deciding should it or shouldn't it apply to other things. If the Xeid Rabban was because of a specific reason and we don't extend it to Isurim, so all the lumnas in the rule shouldn't change. I don't get it.
Based on Rashi Bamutsiya, that
yeah.
Enach HaRashi Toso, maybe that explains the difference. That by Mashiach, it's yours. By Dal Ramas, it's not yours, but no one else
can get it.
Right, so there is a so.
But again, how are you learning that ration? You're learning that's not really yours.
That's what he says.
So how are you creating it?
You're not
really creating it.
You're not going it.
The Gemara says kindnessly, right? You tell me you're not really creating. So how does it work by Gerushin?
It's the
Tzitzis. Okay, maybe. We'll see. Well, I grabbed it for a long time. Thought like you. I thought that's Chan Rashi. Then I found later, if Salvation writes, come out before it's not like that. He writes that it's not the Lomas. But I don't think it's wrong. I would have thought like that also. It's a little bit of a Chiddush. So the Hazard worked by Mitzia, you're not really creating it? I mean, you can't be Makdish it. If I want to be Makdish
it. So you can't come and try and beat me up together.
Would I be able to be Makdish it?
No.
So you're saying you wouldn't be able to be Makdish it? According to this Pshat. Yeah, I thought like that for.
That you have the right to then make the Kinyan on it.
All right, so you're saying that it's no one else's.
It creates this invisible barrier that nobody else
right,
can
so which means Dal Ramas is not really Kinyan. It prevents others, and then you'll make your own Maisa Kinyan and make it yours.
I mean, that
makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I think.
It doesn't sound like that.
The truth is, it's a Machlokes Rishonim. That's really the truth, like everything in life. But I think it's possible to learn Rashi like that. Salvechi has a different way of learning Rashi, that he learns Rashi that the Shlilas Habailas is why it becomes mine. Meaning the fact that the lack of anyone else being able to get it is the reason why it becomes mine. Meaning,
you
get it by default, which is an interesting insight. Because no one else has rights, Mimela becomes yours. Which is always the shaila of what prevents.
That's what he's saying. That's the same thing
he's saying. No. I'm saying it becomes yours automatically. Hold on a second. The first way we're learning Rashi, it comes out that if I have a Dover Hefker, so as long as it's sitting in my Dalar Amis, it's not really mine. It's not yours either. Then I'll pick it up, make a Mashiach, and now it becomes mine. I'm saying no.
But the other guy can't pick it up.
And the other guy can't pick it up. But until I pick it up, it's not really mine yet either.
So let's say you walk away. So let's say fancy Rolex in your Dalar Amis.
That's right.
You walk away. So, and the other guy takes. Did he steal from you?
Right. So according to you, no. According to the other way of learning it, the pshat is that because this chayfetz is in a matzav where no one else besides for me has rights to it, that alone is the reason why it becomes mine.
Okay, good.
So that we're going to have to see. But I think the way of salvation says it.
Because I have a right doesn't mean it's mine.
What makes anything anyone's? Meaning, why can't I own your thing? Because it's yours, right? Is that why?
No.
Why not? Why can't I?
You're asking what defines
it. I can't own it, it doesn't mean it's yours.
Right, but how do we look at ownership of anything? If where does everything start off?
What does it
mean
to own something? It's like darkness the absence of light, or
definitely
like
not. It's definitely not. There's a Mefor Shavai in last week's parasha that's not like that. The Maratz Chias writes that says the pasuk Kosh Bochi created Choshech. So the Maratz Chias writes in Tainus that's right that Choshech is a bria.
Right. So nobody else can own it. It doesn't mean that you do.
What defines ownership? Let's say, for example, we lived in a world where I was the only person on the planet. If I was the only person on the planet,
you own everything?
Would I own everything?
No.
No? If I was the only person that did,
it's a big dollar.
Before I should talk about this, if I was the only person in the world, this is the gate to Nichsei, Agar, and all these types of things. Is it pshat that because I'm the only person, Mimela, no one else has rights to it, Mimela becomes mine?
I'll tell you why you have to do something to show ownership on it. Because if you could own something by default because nobody else could own it, and it was something that you're not allowed to own, like Avodah Zarah, then if you owned it, but you didn't want to own it, but you had no choice.
You're right. So then,
that can't be.
That's true. I agree. So those things I wouldn't want to. Either I wouldn't want to, or the Torah wouldn't give to me.
I have an active.
I have a right.
If there's an idol, right? And I'm the only person in the world. Everybody else who worshipped it died. Now I'm the only person.
Because now I don't want it.
No, but it doesn't matter. It's fine. Because nobody else can.
I'm not saying the Torah is going to force you to take things.
Well, that's what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying. I'm suggesting that is it possible to understand that you can become an owner of something you want to own because no one else could own it.
So now you have to have some kind of das.
Yeah, okay.
On top of the fact that nobody else. So whether it's das or whether it's mashicha, there was some expression of ownership.
But there was still no active maisa.
It's still not a default thing. But you still have to.
It's not even a valid question because you only talk about ownership when there's other people. So that,
is that?
It's not even shy.
But you're saying there's no musik of bialis because bialis is negated to dinim.
Mine and not yours. So that's a shy.
That's the big hakira. Is bialis a reflection of vis-a-vis other people or it's batsim? Meaning, is bialis only because you have an isig neva, that's why I own it?
Nobody lives in a vacuum.
Or I own it, memeil is an isig. This is the old hakir, right? Do I own it, and that's why there's this isig neva? Or is it backwards? Which way does it go?
It doesn't automatically go to you. You have to want it or express
something. Yerusha, which we'll talk about. I want to get to Yerusha. Yerusha is an example of ownership without a maisa kinyan.
Right.
So how does that work? Well, that's because no one else can get it. It's X marked.
So it's my Dalai Lama's, nobody else can get
it. So that's why it becomes mine.
No, something else.
So according
to We'll get to it. That's the problem. That's his kasha. Okay. We'll leave everyone with that. Blinada, next week we'll get more into some of these issues and we'll try to understand how this works in relation to get and our sugya and kedushin based on the lamas that we started talking about today.